Order. We're dealing with a motion, the chair would move that we consider the motion by which we sent 3470?
3470.
3470 to the floor with a DUPAS recommendation. Are there objections? Hearing none, so ordered. Jack?
We need two changes. The first is there is a discussion about an effective date. The Speaker's office has requested a date of January 1st, 1990. The second change is that we do in fact need that conflict amendment that we deleted. So we need to make those two changes.
Okay, and the date is?
January 1st, 1990.
Madam Chair, if I may, I discussed this with various members of the Speaker's contingent, I guess I could say. January 1, 1990 does allow a full year for the police, state police study, which is to take a year and be done before the next legislature convenes. And they think that 5 months to get everything in place to start all the different programs up will be sufficient. They actually think that the 90 days would be sufficient, but they're not terribly confident about that, so they're pretty comfortable to back away from October 1, particularly when they saw that we weren't about to go for that. But they really think January 1 will work, and that will allow that full year study, which is a pretty important part of the bill.
Okay. Welcome. 3470 is here again.
Hey.
Do you have any amendments?
Do we have a letter from the NRA yet?
A letter from the IRA.
The almost NRA lobbyist told me that the letter was forthcoming shortly.
Well, that makes me feel a lot better.
To bring you into it, January 1, 1990 is where we sort of settled on as a effective date. That gives 1 year for the state police study before the next legislature convenes, which is part of the bill. They think it's enough time, so.
Okay, I have objections to the January 1, 1990 date. Hearing none, so ordered. Okay, conflict amendment, that was a dash 21 or whatever it was?
Yes.
Are there objections to including that?
Remind me what that does.
Well, what it does is it's a conflict amendment with 25, the drive-by shooting, and what it does is it really cancels out the fingerprint part because that's preempted by this bill. Portion of this bill has been repealed because.
It straightens things out so we don't get into this mess about which bill was passed first and which was passed last.
And we're going to go with this gun bill with respect to fingerprinting should this gun bill pass. Okay, are there any objections to that amendment? Hearing none, so ordered. Okay. Can we pretend that we have?
We move the bill.
One, two, three, four. We need Brenneman. We need Brenneman to get it out of here. While we're in abeyance, let's take up.
2784.
2784, which has been requested. Senator C., Senator Gold. And there are amendments. The amendments are a Senate bill which we did not in this body have a hearing on.
That was Senate Bill 831.
Senate Bill 831 at the request of the Multnomah County District Attorney, Mike Schrunk. That was Senate Bill 831, and that's what the A2 amendments are. Jane and Shirley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm here to ask if you will amend House Bill 2784 with what was formerly Senate Bill 831, and that is the bill that includes sexual orientation within the categories that are protected under the intimidation law. I don't know how much time you want us to take, but.
Well, about as long as it takes to get Senator Brenneman here to vote on the gun bill. And anything else.
Well.
The folks in the audience never knew it was so easy, right?
What I'm asking you, I do not believe that we ought to be able to discriminate against people on a basis over things that they have no control over. in my own personal experience, I have a brother who is homosexual. He has been as he is ever since I remember him as a small child. I don't think that it's something that he had any control over, and I don't see why anybody ought to be able to try to intimidate someone. I don't think people ought to try to intimidate other people on that kind of a basis anyhow. It's a very major issue for me. It always has been, always will be, and I would very much appreciate it if we could move that those amendments and pass the bill to the floor, and I will certainly support it strongly and give whatever help I can to the committee in getting it passed. And I think I forgot to say I'm Jane Cease, and I represent Senate District 10, part of Northeast, part of Southeast Portland.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator Hill.
Why is this coming at this time, this late in the session?
I'll answer. My name is Shirley Gold. I'm a state senator from Portland, Oregon. In response to, and I'm here to request that you place the content of Senate Bill 831 into House Bill 2784, and hopefully you will pass it out of committee and pass it on the floor and so on. In response to Senator Hill's question, we had before us here in the, introduced on the Senate side by Senator Bradbury and myself a Senate Bill 606, which had to do with reporting on crimes and keeping of statistics and so on. And what a part of that was, there were many things, but part of it was the sexual orientation item. That bill was supported by 27 senators and passed to the other side, where it encountered trouble. It took until this time in the session to succeed in getting the House to pass the bill with amendments, and we have concurred, and it wasn't but a few days ago that that occurred. What it relates to is a strategy that was decided upon by those of us who were working in this area, that it was strategically wise to defer any action on this until the other bill was passed. I don't know if you consider that relevant or not, but that was the request to the committee chair, that we defer any action until this time. This subject that's before you today is a subject that I've been a legislator since 1981, and it's been either before us in content or in thought or in discussion ever since. And we're dealing here with the inclusion as a crime of intimidation, the category of sexual orientation. And I believe that this is a statement that needs to be made. So I don't know that I've answered your question properly, Jim, but the decision as to why so late was a strategic decision.
Thank you.
Okay, could I move, close the discussion on 2784 for a moment and move back to our need to move the gun bill back out? What we did, Senator Brenneman, was add an effective date of January 1990. January 1, 1990. And we included the conflict amendment. Would you call the roll, please, on
3470.
Senator Shoemaker's motion to send House Bill 3470 to the floor as amended with the, as much amended to the...
Those two changes.
Okay. Yeah, with those two changes with the due pass recommendation. Call the roll, please.
Aye.
Rock
No.
Aye.
Aye.
No.
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you. I can get that onto the desk. It ought to be rolling soon. Senator Shoemaker will carry it. Okay, now back to 2784.
Better wear your bulletproof vest.
Since we finally named a carrier, this is the last item we're going to do with 3470, folks.
Yeah, I promise I'll leave alone. No more amendments.
No more amendments. Is that guaranteed?
At least I have the pleasure, Madam Chair, of not being the person responsible for the last two amendments.
That's true. Okay, House Bill 2784, the motion, well, at least the request is that we put Senate Bill 831 into it because of the, well, I guess the timing, you've heard from Senator Gold about that.
Madam Chair?
Senator Springer?
Move the dash A2 amendments, 2784.
Senator Springer has moved the dash A2 amendments to House Bill 2784. Is there discussion? Call the roll, please. Oh, no, are there objections?
Yes.
Okay, call the roll, please.
Brennan?
No.
Brosnan? Bransky?
No.
Hill?
Aye.
Shoemaker?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye.
Pollan?
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you.
Move the bill as amended to the floor due pass, Madam Chair.
Springer moves House Bill 2784 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Call the roll. Discussion? Call the roll, please.
Brennan?
No.
Brosnan?
No.
Hill?
Aye.
Shoemaker?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye.
Pollan?
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you. Now, I think, well, we may not yet be finished. We're in the process of trying to work out some situations with the, well, I guess almost everybody knows that Senator Shoemaker, your conference committee on sentencing guidelines 2250 has been at work all day. We may be close.
More or less.
Working. My two fellow conferees believe that the final last two pieces are almost more than what we ought to be dealing with, I gathered. But we've had a semi-request that we deal with two bills that we have here, one resisting arrest, the other one murder by abuse. I want to ask people, I want to have a chance to look them over and see what they are, to refresh ourselves on.
Murder by abuse.
It's a, I think it's House Bill 2365.
2365.
And then House Bill 2654, I think. Is that the most, is that what we're talking about?
That's correct.
What's that?
Resist arrest.
So I guess that's...
We'll have to add that into the gun bill, won't we, with a conflict in there?
We might. Anyway, there are some amendments, apparently, that if we can track them down...
Jim wants to vote on that one more time, I think.
No. That will conform the murder by abuse language closer to what the state of Washington has done, so we might want to take a look at that as we move it around. So I don't know whether we're going to come back in and ask you, would you need to post it if we do. So that's where we are. And we are in recess, folks.
I think you attached a mobile tracking device to it.
Where did all this stuff come from?
Well, this comes from a little modest request from the interaction that we've had with the House. And the amendments Jack will deal with on House Bill 2033.
That's correct.
We'll share. Where is Representative Courtney? Okay.
Are they working?
Is he coming?
Yeah, they are.
Holly. Is he coming?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
History.
Good.
They enjoy the microphone.
Okay, let's do the other one.
Nice.
Well, we're waiting for Representative Courtney. Let's do House Bill 2654.
I think he wants to be an assistant professor. That's what I think.
Yeah.
No, House Bill 2654 does not need any work.
Then, Madam Chair, I would move House Bill 2654 to the floor for due pass recommendation.
Are there any witnesses on this?
Well, we can wait for witnesses if you want.
What is this? I don't think there is a witness for 2654.
Jack, you want to go through what it, you don't
yes.
know what
this is. Okay? Yes, I do. It's this is the revision of the resist arrest statute. It specifically adds in language that says behavior clearly intended to prevent being taken into custody by overcoming the actions of the arresting officer constitute the crime of resist arrest, and makes it clear that the behavior does not have to result in actual physical injury. I believe it's simply intended to loosen up the standard for resist arrest. And it appears to me that it is a slight loosening.
Important bill. I'm kind of surprised we didn't get to it before now.
We just got it late, as a matter of fact. As a matter of fact, it just came in about a few days ago.
I don't think we can go home without this one.
Yes, well, thanks.
Actually, I can go home without this one.
Okay, Senator Hill.
I have a motion on the table.
Okay. Senator Hill's moved House Bill 2654 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Call the roll, please.
Is it unamended?
It's unamended.
Aye.
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 Hill?
Aye.
Shoemaker?
Aye.
Springer?
No.
Owen?
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you. Okay. Representative Courtley, 2033.
Got a little help there, Peter? Back up.
Where's one of my buddies?
Look, we're going to do...
Now listen.
You're in the fog.
We're going to do okay anyway.
I've
we're
been
gonna
good.
Do it, Peter.
I've been good to everybody up there.
There is an amendment to this bill. I passed out the LC version. In one short, Senator Springer, you can have special...
The amendment...
Why don't you tell us why you want the bill first?
Who you are. Well, the Interim Committee on Human Resources... excuse me, I'm very sorry. I'm
right.
Peter Courtney, State Representative, District 33, Salem-Keizer. There were two bills introduced. I introduced one, and the Interim Committee introduced one. Because of my giving spirit, we went with the Interim Committee of Human Resources version, Chair Cohen, and they had worked on it over the... Interim, and it simply was an attempt to deal with the difficult issue that I understand is out there when district attorneys are faced with a child's death as a result of beatings or abuse, and they struggle with the intent area, being able to sufficiently show that the person, the parent, or the boyfriend, or whoever, intended to kill the child, and that's very difficult. And so the crime of murder by abuse was suggested to be created in our statute so that we could, be very frank with you, incarcerate someone, penalize someone, be more punitive towards someone who would kill a child in the manner that all of us, I guess, are aware of as a result of some of the different cases that have been presented to us by Children's Services Division this year alone in terms of what there was 23 deaths in 1987, and some of them are pretty horrible. I don't need to get into that. And so that, pure and simple, was the gist behind the bill. We reworked it substantially in the Family Justice Subcommittee, Chair Cohen, of the House Judiciary Committee to, I think, make it a much tighter bill, a much more comprehensive bill, and a much more legalistic bill. And that's about it. I'm not going to take a lot of your time because time is of essence now, but that is about it without going into the weeks and months that we spent putting the bill together. That's not quite right, but at least the weeks we took working on the bill.
Thank you. Okay, I've asked Jack to research the Washington law on the state one, and that's what the amendment is about. It does recite the Washington law. Okay. And it does, it really essentially, I guess, says that if you have a single incident, that this would require more than a single incident to bring it in into the murder classification. I guess that's really what you're still left with. It's an addition to, doesn't tamper with what you've done with recklessly or manifesting extreme indifference, but it does say that it would have to be a pattern of conduct rather than a single incident, and I think that's what that's what exactly you would be able to prove from the ecclesia circumstances, no question, that those folks would come in on a pattern, no doubt about it. So I guess the chair would move that amendment. You want to say something, Neil?
When you...
Either say, yeah, come on up if you want to say something, because we're about to move this bill. We're under good instructions.
About to get that.
Well, I'm not sure about that. Please.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I appreciate the opportunity to speak to this. This is basically the Ecclesia bill, so let's not be complicated. And I do not have all of the facts about all of the defendants in the case, but I think it's pretty clear in talking to the people who worked this case in the Children's Services Division, to the prosecuting team, if you had them in front of you, what they would tell you is that this amendment will exempt some of those people from being gotten in the future. There is every reason to believe that the behavior of the adults involved in killing that child was a predictable outcome of their behavior. And a pattern of previous assaults on children, frankly, in my view, shouldn't be necessary in order to reach people in that case. You've got literally a situation where a group of adults murdered a child. And I don't want to speak for Representative Courtney or what they did during the interim with the committee, none of which I was participant in personally. But I do want to be clear who we're after here, and that we're completely comfortable with the idea that adults in that situation ought to understand the outcome of beating children.
I think that you'd see that that similar conduct involving the child is more, that child had more than one bruise. She had bruises or more than one incident of bruises, which certainly would have qualified similar conduct involving the child. And I think that's, I guess I think that's pretty clear that it would. But,
well, the question obviously is the similar context conduct something which the public has on record in some fashion, which is a precondition for us to get at them? Because prior to this episode, I don't think we had anything on record. I mean, it's your county. You're more familiar with the problem we've had both under land use law, children's services law, and the criminal statute at reaching this situation. And I don't think the statute's being written only for this circumstance. But it is not an unusual situation where someone who as an adult ought to understand the consequences of their act, we have no record of this behavior of them before. It is also true in plenty of cases we do. I recognize that.
Okay. Any questions?
Well,
Senator Grinsky.
Madam Chair, I'm not as familiar with the cases as some members probably are, although I am somewhat familiar with it. But if you beat someone to death, that can still be murder. Apparently they did they not
intentional.
Right now didn't they charge the group with that and they didn't feel they could prove it, is that what happened? And they,
I believe they were
dropped
charged
down to homicide, and
I believe they were charged with perhaps they were initially charged with murder and soon thereafter dropped to manslaughter because they didn't feel that they had the intent element. This bill is addressed to those situations where there is not the intent to kill but rather the reckless conduct that causes it.
So we're basically making an exception, as I see it, to the normal intent requirement for those cases where someone's under 14. That's basically
that's
the
really
only real difference here. Okay.
Okay.
Or is it dependent?
Huh?
Or is it dependent?
Right. Okay.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator Schumacher.
I was wondering if it would help in trying to analyze this. If we just look at the Ecclesia case, we might come out one way, but I'm just trying to think of other circumstances where this could be applied, and I'm not sure I have figured that out, but I suppose it could be one rash attack of some sort that's inspired by who knows what, drunkenness or rage or anything, not intended to kill, but reckless and with disregard or extreme indifference, and the child dies. That, I guess, would be abuse, because abuse is not defined except by the section itself. So I guess a beating or even one blow could constitute murder by abuse, I think. And I guess the point of the amendment is that that shouldn't be enough to move something from manslaughter to murder. But if you just exhibited a pattern of that kind of behavior with that particular child before, then maybe it is enough. Do I have that figured
Jack,
out about right?
Jack, respond to
I believe
that.
So, Senator. I think an example of a common scenario that would fall within the statute
is the case of a person shaking an infant, and the child dies as a result.
And there could be great remorse that followed that. If it happens again, or if the child didn't die the first time, but then it happens again, I think you could say, yeah, that...
There was some type of abuse before.
Yeah, but if it just happened one time...
It would certainly seem to make the person more culpable if there has been some prior incidents.
Madam Chair,
seems like we're talking about the difference between manslaughter and murder here.
Question to the counsel. Is this similar conduct language, that's constitutional, or is that too vague?
That's Washington law, so I guess we're I guess that's one reason. That's where it comes from, because I think their case laws are pretty well...
Similar conduct, what does that mean? One prior incident of a spanking would get you there?
Well, I think that would be a jury question, Senator. That would have to be defined, at least in part, by jury instructions. But this is patterned after the Washington statute.
Representative
Courtney.
I must tell you that in the original draft, it was in there on lines 6, 7, and 8. Cause of the death of a child, blah, blah, a developmentally disabled person or dependent adult, and the person has previously engaged in the pattern or practice of assault or torture of the victim. That kind of language is in there. We took it out consciously because we felt it might be extremely difficult, if not impossible, to prove what you meant by, has previously engaged in the pattern of similar conduct. The word previously, what did you mean by previously? How much, how long ago are you talking about similar conduct? I'm not trying to be picky with you, but we consciously took it out of there for fear that that language alone might eliminate this new crimes, the effectiveness of this new crime. And maybe we overreacted, but I'll be very frank with you. I remember we talked about it for days, and since we wanted to create the new crime and get around the manslaughter issue, which was intent, we didn't want to complicate it, and then once again keep the DAs using only manslaughter because they get into the previously engaged in how long ago you're talking about, similar conduct, et cetera, et cetera. So that's why we decided to take it out of the original draft of House Bill 2033 or similar language to that effect, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair? Could I ask Representative Courtney then maybe to respond to my hypothetical about the one-blow death committed not with intent to kill but recklessly and with indifference?
Well, I'm splitting hairs. To me, the passionate blow where someone simply loses their temper and just lets it go is a much different, Chair Cohen, Senator Shoemaker, it's a much different scenario than the ecclesia or the 27 children that died in 80.
I'm trying to get us away from that. Because that happened once. That's happened one time in our history.
What's that, the ecclesia thing? But I
agree with you. That's an awful thing. But this is a crime that they're going to apply to lots of different occasions.
I agree with you. But with the 27 cases that I were talking about where they were burned to death, they were drowned, they were beaten to death, they were decapitated, or those files suggest, if I were to bring them to you, it wasn't just a one-shot situation. There was a reckless, malicious, almost dispassionate thing going on, an enjoyment going on type of thing. And I thought that, Representative Hill, is something wrong?
I said that sounds like murder. It's what that sounds like. It sounds like aggravated murder.
It's like the felony murder statute.
No.
If somebody is impassioned and they just go ahead and intentionally do the things that did, that's murder.
Well, I thought the same thing, Senator Hill. Now, if I may, Chair Cohen, may I try to respond to that, or do you want to...
Getting near the edge, folks.
Well, all right, then I don't have more to say.
I'm just wanting to shorten it up some, because we've had a long day.
To me, the intent factor, you don't intend to kill the person. But you react in a way that is very reckless. And I tried to give you some scenarios. That many DAs were not willing to go up the hill with a murder charge because of the intent factor. And this crime was simply being put on the books. It does not carry the death penalty, obviously. To really allow a district attorney to say, you were guilty more than manslaughter given that kind of conduct. And that's all I have to say. Because Chair Cohen has given me a high sign here that I know when I get the high sign from Chair Cohen.
Madam Chair, for the record, the voice that did not identify itself was Governor Goldschmidt, for the record.
Thank you.
Okay, folks. see where we are. It would be, you know, you can do what you want. I just want to say, I believe that it would still be my preference that we incorporate the language A5, because I do want to, I am concerned with the Shoemaker scenario, but.
Let me raise another question. The amendment has this pattern of similar conduct involving the particular child or other person. Is that essential? What if it were a pattern of similar conduct involving the child or other persons, so that you show then a pattern of behavior toward people in general?
I don't know that.
So that seems to me that that's really what we're getting at.
Okay.
Change B to A?
Yep.
Or children, or just drop the V and change it to children or dependent persons, making it clear that we don't require any multiples, simply.
Well, maybe all we have to say is previously engaged in a pattern of similar conduct, period.